today on Codepen Radio.
6-0-3-1-8. Hey, Codepen folks, time for another Codepen Radio 272. This one, let's talk about video. I am very much looking forward to talk about this because I think it's relevant to any software as a service company out there. Like, it would be highly unlikely that you're building some kind of software product that doesn't use video in some way. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be a video company, but it means you're probably using video at least a little bit to show people how you use your product. You know why? Because it's darn effective. So let's talk about that. Marie, hi.
Hey, everybody.
Co-host, super organizer of Codepen Radio podcast.
The I wouldn't point say of which, super, but you know.
Super. So let's go with super duper.
Oh, okay.
You know, we've been recording videos for Codepen since the very beginning of it. It just seemed obvious, even whatever, like 8 years ago, that that's how you introduce people to your product. You should have a product intro video. When you release new features, they should be accompanied by a little video. You can use it for little marketing reasons. You can use it for educational reasons. I mean, chances are your startup and ours has like a channel for these videos. 8 years ago for us, it was Vimeo. And not because Vimeo was the bigger, better of the companies, but I think back then it just had a classier player that you could customize. And just it just generally looked nicer than the YouTube one, I think is why we did it. I can't even remember exactly. But so for a long time that, you know, things like that just kind of become muscle memory. You're just like, I don't know. That's just the thing we do for our videos. Shoot a video, put it on our Vimeo thing, and then use it. And, you know, when you have a video like that, you can embed it in your docs and, right? Like you can just use it wherever.
Yeah, totally. That's one of the nice things about it is that the embeddability.
I regret nothing of that. Like that was a great journey. That's a great system to have. To some degree, we still do that kind of thing. It's just changed over all those years. So like what's the 2020 version of dealing with video for your product? Well, Vimeo is still around and I still think it's a fine choice, but YouTube has just gotten massive. So much bigger.
Yes. You know? Yes.
So I think it's a little silly, maybe. It's almost like social media. In fact, I think of it as a social media outlet, you know, in almost in the same way as Twitter and stuff. Like having a presence there is useful in the same kind of way. Like people follow each other there, just like you follow somebody on Codepen. Obviously, you can subscribe to channels on YouTube. So it's somewhat recently we've decided that should just be where our videos go going forward. You know, let's get a following on YouTube. Why not? Not that we're I don't think we're quite using it for social media like content yet. I think at Codepen, we're still mostly thinking of video as these videos are little things to help you understand Codepen better.
Right. Yeah. It would be cool to have a more social aspect there. But for right now, our focus is definitely on just explaining features, using it as part of documentation and also like new feature announcements. We used it for all the new stuff in the asset hosting recently.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we could make this podcast available on YouTube if we wanted to. There's all kinds of possibilities that we could do. That's literally the first time it's ever been mentioned. So not exactly far along in that process. But, you know, of course, we could do whatever. What also that means is that videos, they have like a decay to them.
Yes.
You know, like
that's something that we've been fighting against lately. Like you and I have been working together to refresh the documentation and make sure everything is up to date. And we were just yesterday talking about one of the docs, which is for a presentation mode, which is a pro feature. And I was mentioning that one to you as an old one because it has, at this point, what is like an adorably vintage video of of the old Codepen UI, which it's cute for like historic purposes, but it's not useful now. It's not at all what it's like to actually use Codepen, and because it's similar in a way to how photos and documentation kind of decay over time, in that the UI can change. Buttons get moved around, features get added, whatever. But video actually, I think, can almost be like more prone to it because you spend more time watching it. So it's like you have to be you have to be even more careful to keep them up to date. So that's something that we've been pushing at lately, because we want to make sure that the videos that we're sharing with people and the videos that we're pointing people to are relevant to CodePen right now. And yeah, that's a thing you have to consider every time you're making a video. And as you're maintaining your documentation, like, how fresh are these videos? How relevant are they to right now?
Right, right. And it gets to the point where, like, that particular video, it's not like a problem in that we would drop everything else to deal with this. But right. For example, that one is so bad that it's like, this has to go on the list. And in fact, the documentation page would probably be better if the one change we made was to delete the video.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we've done in some cases. We've just realized, okay, this video is detracting more than it's adding to this documentation. So we just pull it out and replace it with text, or maybe replace it with like one screenshot. So yeah, it's a consideration, especially with maintaining something long-term. CodePen's been around for a long time. We have a lot of old videos that make no sense now.
So we're not going to actually do that. Like, you know, when a doc is bad, generally we'll not only delete the video, but the best possible scenario then is making a new video. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, although that has been a constant debate at CodePen, not that there's like two sides of the debate, but the debate is like, I wonder what, and this is related to screenshots too, like, how full do we of video and screenshots do we make these docs?
Right.
Because one possible route is to do none at all. Mm-hmm. And if you did none at all, then they don't go out of date. You just use your words to describe what's going on. Every time I think that's a good idea, then I start writing one and then I'm like, nah.
Well, there's also, it's an interesting thing to think about. And I think that every software company really has to sort this out for themselves. Some people learn better from video. That's just how they learn best. And other people learn best from reading. And there's just there's also a mixture. So you have, it's great to be able to help people out with the way that they prefer to learn. I get really frustrated. For example, if I'm looking at for documentation for something and I realize the documentation is all videos, I'm like, oh no, this is a nightmare for me, because then I have to sit through a video and get to the point of the thing I'm looking for, you know? Whereas right. if it was just text, I could just skim through it, you know,
but that's
just me. That's 100% just me.
It's you, and it's a combination of like, video is often so bad. It doesn't get to the point, you know, there's this long intro and then this, you know, like, let's talk about the weather kind of stuff. And we, you know, we don't. Anyway, if that's why sometimes these how-to videos we shoot, I put the duration of it in the tweet or something, like, mm-hmm. here's 30 seconds on how this feature works or something, just so that people aren't like, ugh, video, you know, like, if it's 30 seconds long, it obviously gets to the point, you know, and it can be even shorter than that. Video could be 4 seconds, you know, if it is showing you, go here, click this, toggle this checkbox on or something. So I would, you know, especially with software products where you know chances are people are in that mode, like, dude, I'm on your docs because I can't figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. Getting to the point is paramount.
Absolutely. And that's an interesting thing, just mentioning, like, when you're tweeting videos and the length and stuff like that, we've noticed that tweets with video get huge engagement by comparison to tweets that have images or links. I mean, when we were tweeting about the updates to asset hosting. And when we were doing that, the tweets with the video just blew away like everything else we were tweeting in that same time frame. So it's interesting to think about that, because you know that they get a lot of engagement, but there's also these points where they can become frustrating for people. So it's like, where do you find that balance? Where do you make it so that it's useful, short enough, but long enough to have, you know, the meat that it needs to have to convey the information? So there's an art to it, and we're still learning it.
I'm glad you did that too. It started with, you know, okay, we've been doing all this work on asset hosting, and there's so much more to come too. It's just been a fun project to like toss out little bits and bobs of how good this is getting. But anyway, the first, you know, the biggest, meatiest chunk was like, here's a totally refreshed UI for the whole thing. You know, that was very satisfying to ship. And, you know, as we work on this thing, I'm always keen on keeping a kind of like a marketing list of the bullet points of how you sell it once it's done. Because sometimes, you know, you get to the finish line of a thing and you ship it and you're like, ooh, that was a journey. And you almost kind of forget what the, you know, like, not why you did it, but a little bit, you know, like, I don't know. So anytime I have this thought of like, oh, once this goes out, it's really going to nail this bullet point. Just make sure that bullet point is on the list so that when you end up doing your marketing for that feature, that bullet point list is like gospel. It's mm-hmm. like, that's what we should be teaching. So, okay, this thing ships and I do a blog post and we've been having lots of fun on the blog too, because we got this whole new Gutenberg setup and stuff. I think we talked yes. about that.
Yeah.
So it allows me to like play with the blog post and have more fun with it, you know, be like, I'm going to apply this custom CSS to it and all this stuff. And it just makes like incorporating video into the post so, so easy. Not that we couldn't before, you know, the process before would be like, I don't know, get the video shot somehow and then upload it to Vimeo or whatever, whatever. These days, shooting video is just so easy. Every tool has it. You know, we all use Droppler. Droppler has this built-in screen recording tool. I've been moving to one called CleanShot that has that tool. I use Cap, K-A-P on my Mac is actually my favorite little take a quick video of the screen kind of thing. And then if I'm doing anything above and beyond, I know it's just going to be a little longer form. I'll need some editing or something. I use something like ScreenFlow, which I've been just using a ton lately and really like. It's like you shoot it and then you have more of a timeline editor for the video. So you could drop in graphics, you can move things around, you can zoom, you can highlight the mouse, you know, it has all these features. It feels very like pro grade to me, although I'm sure in the grand scheme of things, it's very like medium grade, you know, it's not like Hollywood stuff, but so that's cool. And then you get this little movie file that was so quick to shoot. You know, like with Cap, you just like highlight a little area of the screen, you hit record, you do something on the screen, you hit stop, you export it, and you got this movie. Now I'm in the blog post editor, this fancy, you just drag and drop it on there. Ah, now there's a movie on the page. Great. You know, it's just so easy.
Yes.
That's changed our like approach here. So this blog post for asset editing and this stuff that went out, all these bullet points, like, oh, it's, you know, drag and drop's a lot easier. Multiple file uploads a lot easier. You can crop the dang image as you upload it. Totally new thing. You know, the sorting and searching has gotten way more intuitive. It used to be so silly how it worked before
yes.
with these tabs and stuff. And now it's just way more intuitive. There's all these preview features and editing features. There are all these little moments. So those bullet points that we were keeping as we were developing these things, like, oh, we got to tell users this. This is so cool now. This is way improved. This is less of a mess, you know. Those turned into these sections in the blog post. And each one of them really deserved like a, you know, here, 18 seconds, 29 seconds, 29 seconds, 25 seconds. All these little tiny videos. That you can just watch. And then it was your idea to be like, each one of those should be a tweet too for
yeah.
like a whole week. And those are the ones you said did good, right?
They did. They did surprisingly well. I mean, considering that in the grand scheme of things, they are videos of a software UI, they did really well, you know? And we did what we decided to do was two tweets a day, every day for that week with one of the videos in each of them. It just happened that there were that many videos that we were able to do that. And yeah, they did really well. People engaged with them on Twitter. And we also had people writing in and asking questions about the features that they saw on Twitter and stuff. So we knew right away, really, that these were getting engagement and getting attention. And it was a really great way to share the new features.
Yep. So that's been tremendous, you know, and I'd say we're a software product. All these videos that we've been talking about so far, for the most part, are just literally screencasts and mm-hmm. silent too. They don't need any audio. You know, you just click here, you click here, you move over here. That makes the file size even smaller. You know, I would say this is hard to have analytics on, but I'd say most people probably when they click on a video don't even have their sound on at all.
I would guess so. Yeah, I mean, I never do.
Yeah, it just seems, I don't know, just seems weird. You know, if you're at the office, even if, I don't know, there's a million reasons, but probably not, right? So I wouldn't depend on it. But then when there is sound, it may not matter because some of ours do have sound. Like, for example, these slightly longer form versions of it. Like I did another video related to these assets where I was on screen too. and it was a screenshot. And that's what I mean by using ScreenFlow, because I can do fancier stuff like that. And then there's me talking. But the reason you might know there's audio is because you can see my face and my mouth
moving. Right.
And even that video you could watch silently and is still only a couple of minutes long. It's not like we're shooting hour-long videos about features here. It's just not happening, you know? Hey, CodePen Radio listeners. This episode is sponsored in part by Jetpack. Jetpack has just been on a tear this year, releasing great stuff. It's a plugin for your self-hosted WordPress site, a lot like blog.codepen.io is. And in fact, we totally use Jetpack in almost every feature of it. You know, things like, you know, making sure your images are on a CDN and being able to do stuff in Markdown. And, you know, one of the big ones that we did recently on blog.codepen.io is it turned on their instance search, which has just been great, and customize it so it just searches the documentation. Because chances are, if you're on that site, that's where we keep our docs. That's what you're searching for. That's what we want to get you to. And I think the search experience, which they call Jetpack Instant Search, has just been tremendous on the CodePen blog. Loving that. But here's another thing that they just released, which is it's like their backups feature too, which is a la carte. If you want backups of your site, either daily or instantly as things happen on the site, which is awesome, you can just be like, I just want that feature only and just buy it. They also just released Scan, which is just like that. It's security for your WordPress site. Super good security. It's like, you know, it's like WordPress themselves looking at your installation to make sure it's all good. And there's no files being weird. Nobody's trying to mess with anything. You know, like it's just like from the horse's mouth, like security audits of your site. And if you just want that feature, you can just buy that. If you want to pair it with, you know, also buying backups, you can do that. Of course, we do all that because I just think that's important stuff. You know, it's about as important as it gets. Keep your WordPress secure. Check out Jetpack Scan.
Yeah, actually, I'm curious about that setup that you have. I know that you got like a whole new camera and all that to record the videos because you're looking like movie star, Chris.
I know, which is... Okay, so here the way it went down was it was kind of like early COVID times. It mm-hmm. still might be technically, yeah, but maybe. We're all just like
we'll see.
Yeah. We're like, you know, like I guess there's like nothing to do. I ended up like, you know, some people are like cleaning their closets and stuff mm-hmm. and yep. like learning to bake bread and all this stuff. My version of that, you know, only because I feel like, you know, in my marriage, I don't, you know, like the closet handling is not me. You know, that's how the priority broken down a little bit. But I couldn't do it that way. My version of it was like getting my desk in order. I'm like, I'm going to organize these cables.
Nice.
I'm going to, you know, and I did a little bit of that, but one of the things had me going is, you know, a while back when I was working on the Shop Talk show redesign, I was talking with Dan Mall. Dan's just a great dude, you know, and he was helping us with that along with Afia Smith and some other people helping us just, I don't know, have fun and explore that design. We'd be on Zoom once in a while and Dan just looks incredible on Zoom. And I was like, what is happening with this? This is amazing. And it turns out this is a phenomenon. Like now I've read 12 different blog posts about people doing this now. Cause after you do it, you're like obligated to blog about it for some reason. But the idea is that you, instead of a webcam, which is built into a lot of our monitors and laptops and stuff, those are really bad. Mm-hmm. Super bad. Like the camera on your phone, probably if you have like an Android or iOS phone, is 1,000 times better. You know, like they really cheap out on the cameras they put in these into computers. And I would suspect that after these COVID times, that's going to change a bunch because I would feel
yes.
like
that. Yes. Yeah. So many people spending so much time on camera now more than ever.
Not that we want to look, you know, because there's like a weirdness. Now I'm the one on calls that looks like Dan did, right? Because I did what he did. The trick here is to get, not use your webcam, but literally a DSLR camera. And the reason I did it is because I had one already.
Okay.
You know, like I had, I go through little phases in my life where I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a fancy camera. I'm going to Iceland. I'm going to take a picture of some moss. You know, it's going to be amazing. So I have this DSLR camera anyway. And reading Dan's post about this, there happens to be this little hardware device called the Elgato Cam Link, I think. And it takes HDMI. And a lot of DSLR cameras, most of them these days, have like mini or micro HDMI out on the camera. Mm-hmm. So you get a cable that's that to regular HDMI. So your camera to that, that goes into the Elgato thing. And the Elgato thing is USB on the other side, and the USB plugs in to a USB port on your computer. And so I don't know what magic that Cam Link does exactly, but the end result is that your computer now recognizes this DSLR camera as a webcam. So it's just a choice. Like in Zoom, when you pick the camera choice, it just says Cam Link, and you're like,
oh, cool.
That one, and then it picks it up. So it theoretically, it's really easy to do. In practice, I found it extremely complicated because it was... There's this thing called clean HDMI, which is just like a concept, really. But it means that your camera needs to be able to do it. Otherwise, you'll see all this crap on the screen. Like, by default, when you flip on video mode on a DSLR camera, you see a bunch of additional stuff on the screen. There's lines to help you line stuff up. There's information it's trying to display about what's going on, like what it's focused on or what the white balances. I don't even know what stuff is on there. But by default, you plug in your cable and you plug in it and you see all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, well, that's not
useful.
That's
not good. You know?
And some cameras, including the camera body that I had at the time, just had no option to turn all that stuff on. So I ended up then, you know, using my closet cleaning hours to like research the right new body to buy and blah, blah, blah. So I got a new body that did have clean HDMI output. That way I was able to continue to use all of my existing lenses and stuff. Then set up a tripod on my desk to do it on. Then got it all set up. Then found out that the USB connector to the Cam Link thing going through my, because, you know, I have these, like a new MacBook Pro, it doesn't have old school USB.
Mm-hmm.
It only has the new oval ones, USB 3 or Thunderbolt. So I have a dock, you know, an old school, you know, USB to USB old dock, which is like a $20 dock, and you can plug your printer and your mouse and crap into it, you know, whatever you're going to do. But that dock, and Shaw helped me figure this out, it was such a piece of junk that the camera output going through that dock, just it didn't have the juice. So once in a while, the camera would just freeze, and I was like, what is happening? I'm like, $600 into this project.
Oh, man.
And it doesn't, you know. Anyway, it turns out I had to spend a little bit more money to buy like a really powerful dock, which sounds silly, but now that I have it, I love it. Because it has a bunch of extra Thunderbolt 3 ports. It has an Ethernet port on it, so I don't have to play. It's just, so now, like right now, I'm doing this podcast. There's one thing plugged into my computer. One tiny little thing. And
that's
everything
cool.
else goes into that, like, super dock.
Nice.
And it's got the power to handle this camera, no problem. So that's the whole deal. I use my DSLR camera as a webcam. That's like gear talk.
Yes.
And then I go even further. I get a boom arm for my microphone. And so that can be in front of me too. And I have a key light behind it all that shines down on me. So the lighting on my face can look good and stuff. Not that anybody needs to be looking at my face, but you know, if you're going to do it, you might as well not look like you're in a dungeon. You know?
Right. But that's what I was going to ask you. The lighting seemed to be different too. I was wondering if it was just the camera, but yeah, you got lighting and everything in there.
Yeah.
That explains
it. It's a whole setup. And that's cool too. Like these days, there's like a menu bar app that I can open and like adjust the blue-orange balance and brightness and stuff on it. It's just very cool. And that's just my desk setup. Actually, at this podcast, I have a whole different setup for the booth, you know? And this is just me like just being like, I don't know, this is fun, you know? Like I need something to focus my energy on while we can't do anything.
Do anything at all? Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to have hobbies. But I mean,
and now that I got the camera set up, I'm like, let's shoot video.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's the thing. It's been paying off for CodePen because you have been making all kinds of cool new videos, and it means we can make more of them. We can start doing more tutorials and stuff. And that's something we've been talking about doing, like starting to do not just like showing how features work, but showing how you can do stuff. And our features help you do that. Like, for example, like how to just start making a website on CodePen, how to start, you know, using, it would be cool to be able to show like how different libraries work and stuff like that, where showing CodePen is definitely part of it, but it's not the whole thing. Like you can learn something else from it. And that's something that we've been discussing doing. Not just you, also Shaw is talking about doing that type of stuff too. Because it's useful. It's helpful to the community, and it also shows off what CodePen can do, which is super, super helpful for all of us, people who use CodePen and the people at CodePen.
That's a great point. In fact, I bet through time I've shot more videos that just have CodePen in them tangentially than I have videos that are intended to be marketed in that way.
And a cool thing about that is we often see when other people use CodePen in their videos that are demonstrating something, those get a lot of engagement. People are really interested in them because they're useful in multiple ways, you know, and that's a thing that we're going to start to work on a bit more in the near future. And I think it's going to be super helpful. Like we've kind of started to revitalize our YouTube channel and bring, you know, get more followers and stuff over there. And so it'll be nice to start being able to share little bits of cool information and doing it in video. We got your amazing video setup to do it, so we're ready to rock.
That's why I wanted to have the setup, so that I can kind of do it at any time. That I got the muscle memory to do it. Because like these things just come and go in waves, you know. Like I probably shot a dozen or something when I got this set up, and now it's starting to trickle off a little bit. But something else will come up, you know. It kind of depends on feature releases too. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a feature release, I'll go crazy. Or if I just have a million ideas in my head for just other CSS related things, I can do it. Yeah, that's okay. You know, as long as you got the setup, you can do it at any time, which is fun. I know that I'm going to have a little surge in excitement about it, because have you heard of Dina? This is a person, Dina Amin. I'll send you a URL to her. She's amazing. She's she like takes junk and like breaks it and makes like stop motion videos.
Ooh, cool!
Out of it,
I love that.
Yeah, so I haven't actually seen anything yet, but I hired her to do an intro video. This is for CSS tricks, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll be really cool for CodePen too, but CodePen's got a kind of a different vibe. But I just wanted to do something really weird. And honestly, most CSS tricks videos have CodePen stuff in them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of just the nature of the beast, you know. But once that's done, I just wanted a new, fresh intro video for the CSS tricks one, you know, after we just got done telling you, like, don't have intros. Those are annoying. People just want the content. I think it's different for, like, a channel where you're like, hey, coding with Chris or whatever.
Right, like, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's part of the brand there. If it's short, it's cool and fun, you know?
Yeah. Okay, here's another thought. Sorry, I'm talking a lot, but this is...
It's a podcast. You're supposed to talk.
Well, I know, but just like... New thought. We're also playing with our landing pages a bunch, because I've been having fun with that. We've been talking about this new Gutenberg editor, which really is just the WordPress block editor, and how much it's just kind of revitalized working with blogging and assets and stuff. I thought, and we're going to... We have to just do a whole show on this at some point, because this is fascinating to me. But here's the 2 second version of it is that I wanted to have, like, in WordPress, a custom post type for landing pages, right? So you go new landing page, and I, you know, then it's just like a blog post or a page, but they're just handled differently. And it gives me the opportunity to like have special custom fields for it, yada, yada, just a special editor world in WordPress. And I did it on purpose. Right now, all of our landing pages are on a totally different repo. Mm-hmm. They're in our regular CodePen repo, because the URL, like a landing page, meaning like codepen.io/pro, for example, is a quote unquote landing page, and it talks about the features of Pro. And it's, you can picture it. It's like so many other landing pages on the web. There's a hero at the top, and then there's big section and the big bold happy headlines and screenshots and stuff that are like, makes it really easy to digest what we're trying to tell you. You know, I love these. They're fun to work on, honestly. But we just hand write them. They're just, how we make them is super manual. You know, mm-hmm. we make a Rails route for it, and we, you know, update the controller, and we give it a view, and we write special CSS for it just by hand, you know? And I was like, this Gutenberg editor is so visual, it was born to do landing pages. So I make this custom post type in WordPress, say new landing page, and then this gives me this opportunity to write some new CSS that I'm going to apply to these landing pages, and Claire's involved here too. She has a whole new like design system for these things that I can apply both to inside the WordPress editor and outside of it and where you actually look at it. So when you're editing and building these pages, it looks like you're just editing the live website. It's really cool.
Yes, it's so cool.
So that's all I'll say about that. But the point is that because I'm rebuilding our existing landing pages just to get going, you know, and update things. We were so heavy on GIFs. We're like, we're going to make a GIF. And we, especially back 8 years ago, we probably used tons of GIFs because GIFs was like this way to basically have auto playing video. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to show you how to open a menu. So I'll make a little GIF and put that in the docs. And then the GIF demonstrates the thing I'm trying to show you. Well, fast forward to now. GIFs are bad.
They're very heavy. Yeah.
They're so heavy. They're low quality. They're super heavy, and they're super bad for performance. You know, they're just slow to get going and janky. And you have no control over, you can't rewind it or anything. There's just nothing good about a GIF in this environment. So if you're like, oh, you know, I don't know, considering GIFs for your like training stuff at you, you know, just don't even go there. Like, every GIF we need to remove from the site and just replace it with a little video. They're just better in all ways. Okay, all that was just to say that. Don't do GIFs. GIFs bad, video good.
GIFs bad in this context, yes.
Yeah, all right. Sometimes you kind of have no choice. Like an email, you got to have a GIF.
Yeah.
Can't put a video in email.
Not yet. Maybe someday.
Okay, so that was a lot. Videos a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a deep world. That's for sure. I mean, just what you went through to just make cool videos on your computer. It's like quite a quest. So yeah.
It has, you know, I learned the most from, we talk about Notion a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. Notion, this is so cool, hired me to do some videos. So there's three videos on the CSS Trick channel that are like, I don't know, Notion for engineers or whatever. It's basically like using Notion on a software development team, you know, and I wanted to do like an extra good job because normally nobody's paying me to do videos, you know, like, thanks Notion. So I was like, I'm going to, you know, spend a ton of time doing fancy editing and stuff. And so I got to learn ScreenFlow really well and that stuff. So my skill levels have skyrocketed too. So hopefully I can use that for some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to you all later soon, I guess. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week.
Six, 0, 3, 1, 8.